You good, Nate?
You wanna clap?
Yep. Hey, welcome everyone to MidCurrent Church Online. My name is Sten. I'm the pastor here. We're so thrilled to have you tuning in today. That very first song that the band just sang wasn't a church song or a worship song. It was actually the hit song by Miranda Lambert called The House That Built Me. It's a beautiful song about the memories that we make in the houses where we live. The truth is, our homes play a vital role in our lives, and because of it, we take pride in them. We take pride in our homes, right? Naturally, we want our homes to be places where memories are made. Erica and I are always talking about the things that we want to do to our house so that it remains a place where memories are made in our own family. We want our house to be a place where our kids want to be, both as teenagers and as adults. So it doesn't take long at all before we have a huge list of all the projects that we'd like to do around the house so that it will serve our family well for years to come. And we know that we might not get to some of these projects for years, but we've also decided to start some of the easier ones right now because we have absolutely nothing else to do. And the funny thing is we've heard the very same thing from so many of you. You're taking this time right now to do the very same thing at your home, right? You have your own stay-at-home list of projects at your house to paint it or build it or redo it or add on to it. And that's all well and good, right? These homes, these places that hold so many memories of ours, they are worth our time and attention. But the truth is, so are the lives that we live, right? I couldn't help but wonder, what if we use this time that we had right now to take the same approach to our hearts as we did our homes, right? What if we took advantage of this big global time out that has been called, and we made the same investment into our hearts and into the spiritual lives so that we were new and improved when this was all over? Right, that's the thinking that led to the start of a brand new message series today called Home Improvements. We're going to take the next 5 weeks to talk about some simple stay-at-home projects for your house and for your heart. I'm really glad that you could be here for the start of it today, and I'm praying that your heart and that my heart would be open to the ways that God is speaking to us, not only today, but in the weeks to come. And so I'm so thrilled that you could be here for it all. If this is your first time tuning in to MidCurrent Church Online, let me just say welcome to you. We are so glad to have you joining us. I would love to know that you are here, and I'd love to be able to connect with you. If that's you, I'd love to have you send an email to sten@midcurrentchurch.org. I would love to follow up with you in any way that I can. If you're tuning in again with us, welcome back. We're glad that you could be here today. And if you call MidCurrent Church home, man, we so miss being together with all of you on a Sunday morning. And if this really is a place that you call home and you're looking for ways to give back to God at MidCurrent right now, there's two ways you can do that. You can give safely and securely on our website, midcurrentchurch.org, and you can also text any dollar amount from your smartphone to 84321. Your partnership with us has allowed us to continue to create opportunities for real people and a real God to meet, and we are so grateful for that. I'm also so grateful for Brian and for his team and for the way that they continue to lead us week in and week out with songs and with music that allow us to turn our hearts to God in the midst of everything that we are experiencing right now. And they're going to lead us again right now. And I'm real excited about this first song that they lead. It's a song called Your Love Awakens Me. And that's really my prayer for so many of you, that God's love that was really on full display last week as we celebrated Easter. My prayer is that God's love for you would awaken something inside of you, that it would open your eyes to something new that God is doing in you or around you right now.
You got to admit, having the folder thing, it adds a lot of dynamic.
All right, good. Hopefully I put in the folder a little picture that I'm hoping can lay in right at the beginning of my message here. Is that possible?
Do that, yeah.
Okay.
So where do you want that at? Like on your right hand side kind of a thing?
Yeah, wherever.
Okay, because
or even if it has to take up the whole, I don't know, if it has to take up the whole screen. It's a picture of a house. People have probably seen it, the little meme that's like the house pre-quarantine and then the house post-quarantine. It's like beautiful. So I'm just going to pop that up right at the beginning of my message here.
Okay. So we could probably put it up, I mean, pretty small-wise off to the side.
Okay.
Extend your arms out, could you? All right, we're good.
Music stand, all right?
Oh, it looks beautiful. Let me adjust some settings on here, so wouldn't mind clapping one more time. Should work. Ready when you are.
All right. Well, as you have heard by now, we are in the very first week of a brand new message series called Home Improvements that I am really excited about. Here's the picture that inspired this brand new message series, right? You can see pre-quarantine and post-quarantine houses, right? I couldn't help but wish the very same things for you and for me, not necessarily for our homes, but for our lives and for our hearts. And so I'm real excited for this series and glad you could be tuning in today. Today I want to begin by turning right to a passage of scripture, specifically from the book that Matthew wrote about the life of Jesus. If you grew up in church or if you've ever been an avid Bible reader before at some point in your life, I'm almost certain that you have read this passage before. In fact, I spoke about this passage last summer in a message right here at Midcurrent Church. But never before has it been as relevant to me as it is right now. Right? When I read it this week, I saw in a whole new light given what it is that we are experiencing right now. And so I want to turn to this passage again right now. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. These are actually the final few words that Jesus delivers in his famous Sermon on the Mount. He's just spent the afternoon preaching to crowds of people on a hillside about the type of life that God intends for the people gathered there that day and for the type of life that God intended for you and for me as well. And as he closes, he shares this little story known as a parable. Jesus says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Now, Jesus is really comparing and contrasting two types of foundations. Foundations built on solid rock and foundations that are built on sand, which during the summer months on the Sea of Galilee would have been hardened on the surface, appearing to be a surface safe for building. But appearances can be deceiving. And so Jesus says, when the rains came and the floodwaters rose and the winds beat on those two houses, it was the one built on the sand that would be washed away. And as I was reading that this week, that there was a certain distinction that seemed to stand out to me this time around. There's something about the role that this storm plays for the house that was built on the sand that really caught my attention. Right? The storm doesn't weaken the foundation of this house. The storm just reveals that it had a weak foundation from the very beginning. Right? Storms do that. Storms expose weak foundations. I happen to know quite a bit about what it's like to be in a place that has a weak foundation because one of my very favorite places on the planet has one. My grandparents have a little red log cabin up north in Minnesota, and this place is magical to me. It has been from the time that I was a kid, and it is still magical to me now. But the place is falling apart. How do we know? Well, beyond just looking at it from the outside, there's a few clues that give it away. The first of which is the drain pipe in the shower. Every spring, we have started to discover that the drain pipe is sticking up through the floor just enough so that the water can't drain into it, right? We have to have it sawed off every year so that it's flush with the floor. And even still, when you're done showering, you have to grab a squeegee and squeegee water up to the drain so that the water won't pool up down in the corner of the shower. Okay, that's not all. We have to bind together with rubber bands the knobs on the kitchen cabinets. Otherwise, the doors swing open randomly into the narrow galley kitchen that serves as the main hallway between the back and the front of the cabin, right? You watch out for your shins as you're passing through, okay? The door in the front of the cabin that long ago served as a revolving door, for wet kids coming in and out of the lake, it doesn't open anymore, right? It is literally jammed shut, stuck in the door frame. We put a Lazy Boy chair in front of it just to add some more seating because there was no hope of this door ever opening up again. Most exciting, okay? Maybe I should say most adventurous about this cabin, I should say, are the floors that slope in toward the center of the cabin. Now, this isn't really a huge deal for Erica or for me, but it has proved to be a little bit more challenging for each of our three kids whose toddler years up there in the summer have proved that they're not quite as steady on their feet. I kid you not, when Lucy and Oli were both learning to walk, they could not keep their balance when we would spend time down on the floor together in the front room. Literally, they'd be like drunken sailors, right, trying to catch their balance out at sea. They could hardly keep themselves upright. When you stand back in the yard, you can see it plain as day. The cabin is literally sinking in on itself. The entire structure has shifted and then settled back in on itself. That's why the front door doesn't open and why the kitchen cabinets won't stay closed. The foundation is failing. Right? Time revealed the condition of its foundation. And friends, what I want to say is that the same thing is true of you and me. Right? And I can't help but wonder if time, and I can't help but wonder if quite possibly one of the biggest storms that we are experiencing in this generation is revealing weak foundations in you and in me. Because that's what storms do. Storms reveal weak foundations. So many of the things right now, so many of the things that we typically depend on and that we rely on and that we count on and that we look forward to, that they have been stripped away. And what's left in us is now being revealed. And so I couldn't help but wonder how many of us are maybe discovering right now that we too have a few pipes sticking out and popping out in the wrong places in our lives. Couldn't help but wonder how many of us would admit to some pooling water, right? Some stagnant places in our lives and in our hearts. I wonder how many of us would admit to a few random doors swinging open in the wrong places, and in other places, doors that don't even open anymore. Right, there are some parts in our lives that we just don't even access any longer. I wonder how many of us might even acknowledge that this current crisis has knocked us off our feet. Maybe we'd even admit that before all of this hit, we've been having a hard time keeping our balance, and now more than ever, it's hard to feel like we're standing on a level playing field. Right? These are just some of the symptoms of a foundation that is in need of repair. And the storms in our lives reveal them. Now, if any of this feels like it's describing some part of you, which by the way, it doesn't mean that you're bad. It just means that you're human, right? But if you're discovering that the storm we're in right now is revealing some cracks or some shifts or some failures in your foundation, here's what I want you to know today. It's not what God intended for you, right? It's not what God intended for me, right? He never intended that we would just be kind of, you know, out on our own, you know, floundering to make sense of it all. Nor is he looking on at you and me, you know, scratching his head or stroking his beard thinking, well, shoot, you know, I wonder what it is that they really need right now. He knows what we need. And in reality, he intended from the start that we would have access to it. He threw us a lifeline well before this storm even hit. In the prophet Isaiah, this is God's messenger to the people, right? Isaiah describes what that lifeline is in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Here's what he says. He says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. And whoever believes need never be shaken. One translation says, whoever relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I like that. I like that. A firm, tested foundation stone. That's what God knew we needed, and that's what God provided for us. A cornerstone that is safe to build on. Friends, this was God's intention for us. This was God's intention for us from the beginning, right? In fact, ever since the perfect relationship between God and man was fractured in the Garden of Eden, ever since that foundation failed, God drew a new set of blueprints for your life and for mine. He set a new plan into motion, and that plan was Jesus, right? Jesus is the firm and tested stone laid in Jerusalem that is safe to build on. Jesus is that precious cornerstone. Now, if you're not totally sure what it is a cornerstone is referring to, it's actually quite interesting, right? A cornerstone is the very first stone that is set in the construction of any masonry foundation, much like what was used for building in Jerusalem in that day for, say, a temple, okay? And the cornerstone for any type of masonry structure, temple or otherwise, it was vital. Right? It was absolutely imperative that you got that stone into the right position from the start because all other stones would be set into place after it, and all other stones would be set into place in direct relation to this one cornerstone. Everything was built out from this cornerstone, and the structural integrity of the entire building itself all hinged on the position of the cornerstone. And over again in the Bible, Jesus is identified as this cornerstone. The writers of the Old Testament even predicted that the stone that the builders rejected, they said, would become the cornerstone. The one that the people turned on would be the one to rescue all of humanity. See, God knew that the storms would come our way, and it was his intention that Jesus would be the cornerstone anchoring us within that storm. It was his intention that Jesus be the very first stone put into place. The very first stone put into place and the very first stone on which everything else was built on top of. Everything else was built out from in the lives that we live. Right? Here's what I want to suggest to you today, friends, that it's Jesus' position in our lives that will determine how well we are positioned to weather the storms in our lives. Right? It's Jesus' position in our lives as the cornerstone that will determine how well we are positioned to weather the storms in our lives as well. Right? God sent Jesus to this planet to be your assurance and my assurance that we are going to be okay no matter what it is that comes our way. It's his position and it's his place in our lives and in our hearts that is going to determine how well we are positioned to stand firm in the time of crisis. The question is, right, how do we actually begin to put him into that position? How do we actually put him in first place into our lives? How can we actually be sure that Jesus is the cornerstone in our life that he was intended to be? The answer is right there in verse 24, in this parable that we began reading today. So let's go back to it again. Jesus says in verse 24, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock." Right? There's listening and following. Right? It's a two-step process to building the kind of foundation that holds firm. It's a two-step process. But here's the problem, friends. We are so often a one-step or a first-step kind of people. Right? Think about how many New Year's resolutions don't make it past January. Right? Erica and I, we hate going to the gym in January because it is packed full of people. But we know that if we can just hold on till February, it will all go back to normal again. Right? Think about how many books are sitting on your bookshelf that you've never finished. I have dozens of them. Right? We get a few chapters in and then we just kind of stop. Right? Think about how many projects are around your house are halfway done. Okay? That's why Erica actually cringes when I suggest that I might start a new project around the house, because she knows full well, and she's not wrong, but she knows full well that it very well might be 6 months that we live with a halfway done project. Right? She knows that if I start and then get distracted or if I get discouraged, that we might live for maybe the next year with wires sticking out of the ceiling or with doors that don't have doorknobs or with a master bathroom that doesn't have any hot water. And no, unfortunately, I'm not talking hypothetically here. And let me just say about that, I'm sorry, Erica. But folks, in reality, the truth is, we're a first step kind of people. We're an almost obedient kind of world. We're a nod our head on Sunday, but not really do anything different on Monday kind of people. And what we're seeing here is that's not how this kind of foundation is built, right? Putting Jesus first, building our life on this cornerstone is a two-step process. Step one, Jesus says, is listening and learning and hearing my words, he says, right? That's so often Sunday. And then step two is obeying, following, doing. That's Monday. Right? I like the way the Message translation of the Bible depicts this parable. Right? The Message is just a paraphrased version that says this. It's Jesus speaking still when he says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. And if you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock." Friends, these are words to build a life on. And I want your life and my life to be built to last. And so let me just ask you then, where is it that you need to work these words into your life? Is there a step two? in some area of your life that Jesus is hoping that you would take? Is there a step two in some area of your life that Jesus has been nudging you to take? Right? Think about some of the most important areas in your life and ask yourself, is there another step? Think about your marriage. Ask yourself, what is step two that you need to put into place? Is there another step to take so that Jesus would be put into position there? Think about the relationships that you have with others in your life. Think about the ones especially that are broken or fractured, and ask yourself, is there a step two anywhere there? Think about the gifts in the abilities that God has given uniquely to you. And ask yourself, is there a step two for how God would want you to use yourself in the lives of others? Think about your career. Think about how you do business and ask yourself, is there a step two? Think about how you treat other people, from friends to enemies to neighbors or even strangers, right? Consider how Jesus asks that we would treat other people and ask yourself, is there a step two there for me? I've heard his words. I've heard his teaching. Is there a step two? What would it look like, folks, if your life went from not just listening and hearing, but to following and obeying and doing? Friends, if there is any area of your life that sticks out to you right now, if there's any step two that seems to be missing for you, then you have the opportunity right now to go back to the start and to work Jesus and to work his words and to work his teaching and to work his example into your life. In fact, if you really want to get serious about this, let me just give you an assignment, right? My kids have at-home assignments that they are working on right now, so let me give you an at-home assignment from MidCurrent. Here's what I want you to do. Take the afternoon or take the next week and start to read through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. These chapters and his teaching, it is the essence of Jesus' teaching for those who follow him. It's his heart for our hearts. It's his heart for our relationships and for our motives and for our actions and for our lives today. So read his words. Examine the areas in your life that Jesus is referring to. And if there's a step two for you to take, take it. Right? Start to work these words into your life in the areas that matter most. And pray that you would have courage then to put Jesus in the position in your life that's going to position you to endure whatever it is that comes your way. Friends, we may not have asked for this time at home. We may not be enjoying this time at home. We might be waiting eagerly for this time at home to come to an end. But let's not waste this time. Let's use it to examine the foundation of which your life and my life is built, because storms will reveal your foundation and mine. And now is our chance to start all over again. Now is the chance for us to firm up any places in our foundation that are failing, so that whenever life goes back to normal, we are stronger than we ever were before. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for the little ways that we see you at work around us, even still today, God. We pray that you would continue to open our eyes and open our hearts to the ways that you are at work so that we might have some hope and so that we might have some confidence and have some assurance about who you are and where you are in our lives right now. And God, I know that these moments that we have, these days at home where we're ordered to stay at home, we know they're long. I know they're long. God, we know that these times are tough, that we're desperate for things to go back to normal, God, but I'm just praying that we would use this time to do some of the hard work to examine the foundations in our lives so that we could be standing stronger than ever when we reemerge from this time at home. God, if there's anybody watching today who has not placed their trust in you, who has not built their life on you, God, if there's anyone watching here today whose foundation is not your son, Jesus, I pray that today they might open their hearts and that they might make the decision to build their lives on your son, Jesus, who is this precious cornerstone. God, I pray that their hearts would be open to you and that they would open their lives to you so that they too may begin the process of building a life and a foundation that is built to last. God, as we examine our lives, as we examine our hearts, as we examine the foundation that our lives are built on, we pray that you would just help us to see, God. Would you shine just a spotlight on those areas in our lives where there is another step to take so that we could move beyond hearing and listening and learning and that we would start to move toward following and obeying and doing? God, would you help us to begin to take those steps? And as we do, God, would you give us a sense that we are growing stronger and stronger every day? We give you thanks for who you are, God, and most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus, who was a great gift, a great lifeline given to us. We put our hope and we put our trust in him, and we pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Hey, well, once again, we're so glad that you could be with us today, that you would choose to tune in to Midcurrent Church Online today. As always, if there is something moving in you or stirring in you, if God has been nudging you to say yes to his son, Jesus, if today is a day that you decided you wanted to put your hope and your trust on this firm foundation who is Jesus, we as a church want to be cheering for you. We want you to know that we are in your corner. And so if you said yes to this Jesus today, I would love to have you send a simple email that said, "I said yes to yes@midcurrentchurch.org. We want to follow up with you. We want to know how it is that we can be a support to you, and we want to know how we can help you each and every day build a solid foundation more and more. And so we would be so delighted to have you reach out to us and let us know. Other than that, we hope you have a great rest of your week, and we hope to see you again right back here online next week at 9 and 10:30 a.m. as we continue with week number 2 of our series, Home Improvements. God bless you. That's a wrap.